The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Wow, can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? How's that? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, we examine the truth that there is spiritual warfare. We acknowledge that Jesus taught about it often, and if we never see it, then we are victims of it. Ooh. Next, the enemy tries to steal the simplicities, enhance the complexities, and confuse the realities. By knowing the truth and submitting to God, we resist him. And finally, we spend a few moments talking about Satan's tactics. On the surface, they appear easy to dismiss. But on the inside, they're continually attacking us. So shields of faith up.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. Wait, let me do it a little bit better because my grandma did it really good. Oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us, by the way, david@hemustincrease.org. It will actually get to me right here in front of me on my $1.19 Chromebook. david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. Or, as I've told you time and time again, we'll tell you again, again, and again. You can call us. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Terrific T will answer the phone. Let me explain to you what it's like when you have Terrific T answer the phone. It's like you just finished a 60-minute cardio. Wow. Then she turns the phone over to me, and I talk to you, and that's like you're just starting a 60-minute cardio. Work through that, okay? What's the reason that we give you information to contact us? Well, we want you to be able to share praise reports, prayer requests. If you've got a question that we can answer, we'll do our best to answer that question. If there's something that you want to share, the Lord's been working with you in, hey, we want you to participate in that. Some big event that's coming up for the church, you're welcome to share that because we want people to be able to know different things that are going on in the community. And if you want to make a comment on something, you can. We just ask you to keep it cool. That's all we're asking. Just keep it cool. Keep it cool. Keep it easy. Be uplifting. We also do that trivia thing, you know. I got a trivia question. You want to hear an oldie? An oldie trivia. This is old. Like, we're going way back. I did this 25 years ago.
Oh, wow.
That's a long time ago, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not even 25 yet.
Yeah. Okay, don't talk to me. True or false? So you got a 50-50 shot. The enemy fights against our thoughts. True or false? That is the trivia question. Somebody already calling in. That doesn't take long. Don't forget, folks, in regards to our show, any topic is open for conversation. It's pretty simple for a reason why. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I do want to remind you about a couple things. Don't forget to be in prayer, by the way. So Glenn in September, they helped supply some of the music, and we've always asked you guys to, pray for them and so on and so forth. Glenn has got a medical procedure that's coming up for him. And with that medical procedure, we just want to be covering him in prayer. He's not sure what to expect on it. It's got a little bit of a mass growing, so he needs prayer for it, just like all of us. And then another quick reminder, 6 weeks from today, the show will be on the air for 2 years. And then 30 days from now, it'll be our 500th show. There's some moments there. And then also never forget about praying for like Gary and Cordy and people of that nature. Okay, we got somebody answering the question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, this is Eric.
Hi, Eric. How are you, my brother?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. I was telling T, I was sitting out here in the garage. It's kind of echoey, so I hope it doesn't mess up the radio for you.
Nope, you sound good
now.
Yeah,
I've got an old 1970s made-for-TV, or I should say, as shown on TV. It's got a broken antenna, and I have to hold it just right against the window pane to pick up the AM, and I'm sitting on a bag of clothes that were going to be donated. It feels like a nice, soft beanbag chair.
You know what's so funny about that is, and I know it's crazy, but one day the internet will go down, and you know what? That will be the only way people can hear. That's so funny.
Yeah, but then we'll have to invest in batteries because I'm sure the 110 wiring will probably not work
either.
Yeah,
that's a good point, right? That's a good point. But back then, you could do that. All right, here's a classic question. And this is kind of leading into the whole teaching, and it's really important that everybody grasps this. True or false? So you're right there. You're 50-50. The enemy fights against our thoughts.
Well, I don't think I have to go out on too much of a limb, but I would say true.
That is correct, sir!
Yay!
Absolutely, positively. In fact, that's going to be one of the texts that we use in talking about that. That's why we're supposed to bring every thought into captive obedience to Christ, because the enemy attack. People are like, well, he can't attack my thoughts. Okay, let's talk about how temptation happens. Let's use some of the basics and see where we go from there. Excellent job, and I'm glad. I'm sorry that you have to use that and some of the electronic stuff's not working, but I'm glad you got a backup radio.
It's fun. I need to get out in the garage and clean anyway.
So. Excellent. Excellent. Great to hear from you, my brother.
All right, Dave. God bless you.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. See, there it is. And let me say something about that. First of all, Eric, great, great guy. And we have a lot of people that call the show, and I never expect any of you, and I'm telling you this so you can understand this. I never expect anybody, and I've told this to T, so if I didn't tell you this, T, well, I think I previously, I never expect everybody to agree with everything I say on the show, or that's not what it, you might hear something and go, well, you know, it's kind of different than what I think. It's like, that's okay. I mean, it was really great what Matt said the other day. Hey, in the essentials, we are united. In the non-essentials, meh, go over here. That's fine. I mean, you might like Rocky Road ice cream. I might like vanilla ice cream, or actually any chocolate ice cream that has fudge in it and peanut butter in it. That's what I like. Just so you can know. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? That's a part of life. Just telling you that ahead of time. All right, I want to talk about this. Do we cover most everything? Yeah, most everything. Let's get to it. I want to talk to you about this whole aware of the dark side. So, you know, a lot of people have seen Star Wars. Don't tell me you didn't see. A lot of you did. Some of you didn't, but most of you did. And, you know, there's, you know, you got the, you know, the Force, which is supposed to be the good side, and then the dark side, and that's the bad force. And just in case you're wondering, somebody actually wrote a book and connected the theology of, you know, the Holy Spirit versus Satan. I mean, it's just an amazing kind of thing. And they were just trying to make a point, and I think the point is good. But I think you need to be aware of this, and I need to be aware of this. No matter what your eschatological position is, this is the passage that kind of launches everything into the reality checks. When this is Revelation 12, 13 through 17. When the dragon saw that he'd been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle so she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman. The woman, she was swept away, to be swept away in the turn, but the earth helped the woman and opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war with the rest of her offspring. Well, by golly, Dave, who's that? Those who kept God's commands and hold fast to their testimony about Jesus. So in the eschatological realm, there's some people that are like, but this is something that's future. But the future also tells you what's going on currently. You also know by this, if you just think this is only in the future, that there is a point where Satan goes after those that hold God's commands and people that hold their testimony about Jesus. And if you're a person that believes in walking in the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus Christ, Satan hates you. Period. I'm not going to make it easy. I'm not going to say it's nice. It's not nice. He hates you. You are the passion of the desire of destruction for him. Whether this is a culminating event or a day-by-day event, which we know spiritual warfare takes place on a pretty regular basis, it is the reality check. And instead of sitting there and going, it's not real because I don't want it to be, which is kind of weird, why don't you just read what Jesus said about it? Aha! Aha! Get that? The idea is to understand that there is warfare. And if you've never seen warfare, he's got you so blinded to his activities. You need to increase in your discernment. You need to be more into the book, more into the truth, so you can see the lies and the subtleties of his lies. When we come back, I want to talk to you about one of the main places he goes after us, which we just talked about in a trivia question. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah. Sometimes.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I love shows like today because it has the same theme. It's kind of like a sermonized theme. And I just really like talking about it because I know you guys think, oh, he's just doing it so you can talk. This helps me. I know that's so selfish, isn't it? It's like so – it is selfish. But when I hear this, when I share it, it reinforces it into my own mind and into my own heart. It's like, yeah, yeah, I got to remember that. Yeah, yeah. And it's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for us to stand firm in these kind of truths. All right, let me get another trivia question in. I'm going to go a little bit left field, okay? But, you know, a little bit left field, that's always fun. In the New Jerusalem, okay? Not the Neil Diamond song. In the New Jerusalem, in the Bible, in Revelation, how many gates are in the New Jerusalem? How many gates are in the New Jerusalem? That is the question. Okay? How many gates are in the New Jerusalem? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. Do have people already texting in? And you can also text 214-210-8483. Somebody already calling in, which I love. I love when the calls are coming in, and, you know, it's kind of a wonderful thing. Keep in mind, so you see answers coming in, people calling in. You guys are great. Great Christian brothers and sisters. I appreciate it. I pray for you every day, and I'm pretty diligent. What is that? What was that? Was that the ring noise?
Oh no! That was
kind of a weird do. It's like a new sound in there. All right, am I supposed to get the ringy dingy? Okay, go ahead and ringy dingy. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I love teaching on this stuff, but this is a nice little trivia diversion for people to think about. How many gates are there in the New Jerusalem?
Is it 12?
That is correct! There are 12!
Yes!
Now wait. Follow-up question. You don't have to know this, but this should be really close, okay? Do you remember what kind of being is at each of the gates? What kind of being? What kind of entity? What kind of... It's a being, but it's not a person. Standing at the gates.
Angels?
Yes, that is correct! 2 for 2! You're on fire! Good job. Excellent work. Excellent work today. There you go. Very good.
All right. Well, God bless you. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you so much. All righty. Good job. All right. I get excited about stuff like that. I like wins. Can you imagine me? So I'm watching, let's say it's the Red Wings, right? Which my family's had season tickets since 1954. And in 2007, when they won the championship, I got more neighbor complaints. So loud. It's like, you know.
See, with that energy, you need a whole game show host. You need to be a game show host.
Yeah, that'd be fun, right? Depends on what the game show is. As long as if they fail, they either get squirted with something or I need one of those.
Okay.
We'll figure that out. All right. We'll do the we already did the website. We'll do it again later. We got history. I haven't decided whether I'm doing the joke or the Hebrew word. I'm still trying to figure all that out. But let's get into this next portion of the text. Next portion of the text is very important because of what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I am afraid, this is Paul writing, I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Even just in this passage, everybody should kind of get, okay, well, there is a little bit of battlefield in the mind. Most of the territory that Satan fights for in your life is between your left and right ear. Okay, and here Paul's like, you know, I'm kind of concerned because Eve, she was deceived by the serpent's cunning, and I'm kind of concerned that your minds, your thinking, your thoughts are going to be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. I think it's extremely important for Christians to understand that there is, in the framework of Christianity, a simplicity. Not that everything we go through is simple, and not that every principle or concept is easy. But at the base, at the core, at the essence of our faith, there is not a tremendous amount of complexity. And what the enemy tries to do, and just so you can be aware of this, is he tries to steal the simplicities. And you think, well, why? Because childlike faith has great effect. And instead of you just operating in childlike faith, or me just operating in, I'm just going to believe God because he said it, what the enemy tries to do is introduce every possible scenario to bring a reduction to the quality of our own faith. It's an amazing statement that Jesus made when he said, you know, you only need the faith of a mustard seed. And then he says to his disciples, you know, you of little faith, you know, why did you doubt? And what happens when you doubt and when you're praying is you're eradicating or erasing the purity of your simplistic faith. So if you think of faith as a mustard seed, think of doubt as something that reduces the effect of the mustard seed. And the more doubt, the more the effect is reduced, and the more the effect is reduced. And if you think of it as kind of a balancing act, if you have the faith of a mustard seed and no doubt, you can move mountains. But most of us have the faith of a zillionth of a mustard seed, and then we let a lot of doubt come in. And then when we pray, it's a convoluted mess. And we're like, Lord, I pray. And I know you've done this for others, God, but I'm not sure you're going to do it for me. And then you go through the whole list. And it's like everybody does this. And then we're not even adding in. I'm just trying to keep it in this most simplistic place on purpose. And we're being told not to be moved from this simplicity, this sincere love, this sincere devotion. Then on top of that, what do? We add religion. So instead of making this about Christianity, which is Christ-centered study, we make this about churchianity, which is a whole set of man-made religion. By the way, one of the definitions in Webster is a system or a set of rules. That's exactly what we do, is we create a set of rules and a set of do's and a set of don'ts, which, by the way, in Colossians, it says we're not supposed to do that, okay? Just kind of a heads up there in Colossians chapter 2. But the idea is that we move this simplistic devotion and love and connection with Jesus in this simplicity of faith, in this simplicity of trusting God for these big issues, and then we add complexity and rules and requirements and standards. And you think, well, no, there's always got to be standards. Here's God's standard. Believe it. Step out of the boat and see what happens. Could you just for a second, and I'm going to teach on this, I think in about 2 or 3 weeks, you just think of yourself in the boat on the water. And when Peter goes, well, if it's you, let me come down there out on the water. And Jesus goes, okay. And the moment that Peter took that leg and put it over the boat, over the side of that boat, at one point, he's probably straddling the boat. I mean, just in all process. And it's just like that moment. And he's just like, yep, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to believe it. And that purity and simplicity of faith, well, God loves that. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those who seek him. The idea behind this is to not allow the enemy to steal the simplicity of your faith. I get that there's a lot of stuff that's happened in all of our Christian lives, and I get that we don't understand everything and how God operates. I get that. I'm with you in that. I agree with you in that. But I don't think that should impose on us an inability just to go, okay, I'm going to get out of the boat and see what happens. That's what we should be believing for and hanging on to. Listen to that passage. It's an amazing passage. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, remember, he's sneaky, right? He's a sneaky guy. Just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may be somehow led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Keep it. I think it's the King James that says the simplicity. It's like, it's about this devotional attitude with Jesus. It's not about all this other stuff. Now, there's a lot of cool stuff in the kingdom. And there's a lot of cool theologies, and I happen to like theology. And I like talking to Matt because he's, you know, an apologetics guy. I like that, okay? But it comes down to this core faith in the truth of the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by acknowledging and surrendering your heart to God in lieu of the work that Jesus did, you and I are enabled by grace, received by faith, to live with God forever in an eternity that's awesome. Like, I want that, right? Okay. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. I got so much more, just so much. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearty welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you, a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect heavenly Father who reveals his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have, I always will.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I gotta tell you something, you guys will absolutely think this is super duper bizarre, but I've done this for a long time. And I mean, not as long as many, but much longer than most. And that little section right there at the end of James Robinson. So on Monday, I was praying. And it's funny because Eric was like, hey, how's it going? I can, you know, kind of sense something's up. And I just think that was the Lord having people pray for me, which I need really kind of all the time basis. But anyway, the Lord reminded me of that James Robinson clip. Not the whole clip, just that end part. You know, I've used imperfect vessels. I always have. I always will. And it makes you remember that, okay, this is about Jesus. He's the one. And we're just doing what we can as we're moving along. And we're growing in him and so on and so forth. But this is about Jesus. And God will work and partner with us all the way through. And we can count on that and rely on that. And it just was really something that ministered to me. And then just hearing that again in that extra clip is a blessing to me. So I kind of get my own blessing. Isn't that terrible? I'm so selfish. But I just think that kind of thing is cool. All right. Trivia question. And then we got history and the website. So here we go. Trivia question, okay? All right. This is a fill-in-the-blank. Fill-in-the-blank. Now, there are a couple of answers, but I'm specifically looking for an answer. Listen to the question. That will tell you all that you need to know. The best weapon against the enemy's lies. The best weapon against the enemy's lies is what? The best weapon against the enemy's lies is what? Go ahead and let's do the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, now we got people, they're texting in, they're getting it right, they're following along where I was going. So I'll just ask it again. If you want to call in, you're welcome to do that. And if not, I'll give the answer towards the end. Just so much fun today. The best weapon against the enemy's lies is... Okay. If you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483. By the way, if you ever text in, if you ever call in and you're wrong, it's okay. It's okay. And then our number here, 972-445-0770, in which Terrific T will answer the phone. In the meantime, we have history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go.
All right, for those that want to know, today is, okay, this is a good one for me. I like this. You have to tell me if you like this, because I don't know if you like this. I've never asked this to T before, but it's National Carrot Cake Day.
I like carrot cake.
I am a big fan of carrot cake. I don't know why. I mean, I really don't.
It's not bad. Like, it's really good.
I think it's really good. It is also Doggy Date Night. Now, what that means is that you spend a little extra time with your doggy if you have a doggy. Now, there's a cat night, so there's also a dog night. That's kind of how that works. And then I have no idea why, but it's Free the Birds Day. And I can only think maybe that has to do with the dog day. I don't know. Free the Birds Day. I did hear a comedian say something really, really funny the other day. So I just will repeat it because I have to. He was talking about, you know, the bird and how people have birds. And he's like, okay, so the bird. And then we take the bird and we put him in a cage. And so what does the bird say? Well, thank you because, you know, I was created for flight. But yeah, it's much more fun sitting on this stick. Anyway, that was so funny. Those are the kind of things I like. 1913 on this day, the United States started the income tax. 1913, and in the next 2 minutes, the United States started taking money from people without asking. Okay. See how that worked? And then last but not least, 1953, J. Fred Muggs. You ever heard that? Probably never heard that, have you? J. Fred Muggs joined the Today Show. A chimpanzee named J. Fred Muggs joined the NBC Today Show in an effort to boost sagging ratings. This is how bad it gets. Television goes bad, they bring on an animal. That's what you do. The Today Show's ratings were doing so poorly, and Muggs was added to attract viewers. He was an instant hit, and the network earned over $100 million in advertising and merchandising because of him. Bring a pet. You're all set. It's like, wow. All right. We've done that. Is there anything else I got to do? Okay. So we still have that trivia question. So do me a favor. And if I forget, just remind me. You know me. I mean, I can easily forget. The best weapon against the enemy's lies is If you know the answer, text in 214-210-8483 or call 972-445-0770. I got to get on it. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Most of you know this, but this is a wonderful, wonderful portion to review. For though we live in the world, hey, guess what? We live in the world. If you did not know that, we live in the world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Now, here's a great thought. How does the world wage war? Well, it does it by propaganda and by weapons and by all that stuff, but not the right way. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Oh, no, they're not, huh? On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. First and foremost, for those that don't think that the warfare is in the mind, just take 2 Corinthians out of your Bible, just rip up the pages, throw it out, and flush them down the toilet, because that's the only way you can really conclude that. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the word in the King James, which I prefer, but then I like it this way, is in verse 5, is we demolish arguments. The word in the King James is imaginations. Okay, I just think that's a fantastic translation. Here is the bottom line. We have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, you have to think about that. What does that mean, strongholds? A stronghold is a fortress, okay? It's like a castle, if you will. The question is, what kind of castle are we talking about? We're talking about castles or strongholds of thought and philosophy, of lies, or of things Satan produces that are like strongholds in people's lives. So people that think that there is no God have a stronghold in their mind that says to them there is no God. It's built on a lie, but they got a lot of layers in their stronghold, a lot of fortress layers, and they're willing to defend it even though it's a lie, but it still becomes a part of them. The divine power we have is what? It's the truth that God has granted us to demolish those strongholds. We use the power of God, which is evident in the truth of God, to break down those strongholds and to fight against every argument, every concept that comes against the truth of God and the realities of God. So people are not aware that they have strongholds in their minds. But let me help you real quickly and be honest. People who are not believers have strongholds, and we're going to find out in the next segment, people who are believers sometimes have strongholds about things that are against them that the devil has built up in their minds. We're going to get to that later. But first, I want you to understand this. We asked a trivia question, and I'm just going to answer the trivia question because the answer to the trivia question is essential. Okay? The question really comes down to the best weapon against the enemy's lies is what? And so we've had some people say the word of God, which is exactly correct. The biblical truth, which is exactly correct. The best weapon against the enemy's lies is God's truth. Because that's what breaks the power of a lie. A lie has a lot of effect and a lot of power. But the way that you demolish it is the same way that light destroys darkness. Turn it on. The truth breaks the power of the lie. Think it's a coincidence that Satan is called the father of lies? So that teaches us, oh, we need to use the truth. We need to use God's truth, the biblical truth, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, to stand against the lies of the enemy. And what many people in the world, we're going to get into the Christians in the next segment, but what many people in the world have are these strongholds in their brains saying, God's not real, it's all about Mother Earth, there is no God, all those different philosophies and weird stuff, right? Those are all fortresses in their minds. And we use the truth to demolish, crush, and destroy those fortresses of falsehood and bring every thought into the obedience of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Ooh, interesting. All right, we come back. We'll finish it up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And, you know, every once in a while you get some extra time in with the Lord and you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Right. What's going on? You want to know the answer to that,
I guess. I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elijah raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
Seven.
That is correct, sir. You are right. A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually he, so after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed seven times. And then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those seven times without his eyes open. Which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do? I mean, how do you? I mean, my eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that.
Didn't he lie prostrate across
yes,
him?
Yes, correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but I you have
we'll
to
have
sit
to
there
wait
and wonder.
To find that one out, huh?
Yeah, I mean the prophets went through a lot, although it could be that could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent answer. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right. We roll. That's a great question that he sneezed in his face.
If Jesus was like
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where we are having more fun than you are supposed to be able to have on live radio, but that's why I do it, for the tremendously large amount of half minimum wage pay that I get. See, that was a good one, right? Half minute is pretty funny. Before we do our last trivia question, I have to do my joke. I have to fight through this to get there. Now, this joke, it's funny, but it's like a quick kind of funny. So you got to think about it.
That's not going to do it.
That's kind of what I'm worried about. For the past year or so, my husband, this is somebody who wrote this, my husband has helped count the collection money after church. One Sunday, a visitor placed a $500 check in the plate. After the service, my husband congratulated the minister on the large donation. I'm sure it was because of your wonderful sermon, he gushed. Oh boy, replied the minister, if you can't be more honest than that, how can I trust you to count the money? That's all right, right? It's not bad. All right, I got another one that has to do with, I'll tell it later. All right. She's stopping me ahead of time. What are we doing? Oh, website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, here we go. Trivia question, and then we'll finish up on the show. Okay, so we've talked about the enemy fights against our thoughts. That's true. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. The best weapon against the enemy's lies is the truth. That'd be John 8:32 and John 17:17, amongst 9,000 other passages. Here's question number three, or actually it's four, but let's just say three, four. All right, and this is a multiple choice. A multiple choice. So we did a true, false, a fill in the blank, and a multiple choice. We are just, our expansion knows no ends. And the money we spend for this is incredible. Okay. All right, I'm just going to move on. The key is to mix God's truth with A, pancake mix, B, vinegar, C, complaining, or D, faith. The key for us as believers is to mix God's truth with pancake mix, vinegar, complaining, or faith. If you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can call in 972-445-0770. That's a pretty good one, right? You feel pretty good about that one yourself?
I feel very confident. Yeah, okay. All
right. Wait, pancake mix.
Complaining.
just like, wow. Yes, mix your faith with complaining. The reason why you're walking funny? That would be why. Just be like, there it is. Okay. All right. Enjoy yourself. You got a lot of shows you got to get through and a lot of things you got to get through. So, and until you hear, it doesn't matter. So that's what you're looking for, right? All right. Something I want to point out, and this is an important passage, but I want you guys to really use this from a practical point of view. One of my biggest things is practicality. So even in my PhD program, I had to do some research today. And the program, by the way, is going really good. So I'm excited about that. And I'm almost signed up all the way through the year. So I'm real excited. I can see, you know, where things are heading and kind of puts a bump in my step. But here's something you need and I need to be aware of. Okay, we know this passage, but I want to talk about the practical part. It says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. One of the things that we get when you go through Ephesians is you get the armor of God, and you pick that up in Ephesians chapter 6, and it starts with verse 12, and it goes 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. But one of the things I think that we miss a great deal is that there are schemes that Satan has. So we know that you defeat these schemes through the truth, but I think we are unaware that there's a subtlety, a sneakiness to how he does these kind of things. And just in case you're wondering, where it says the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy in John 10:10, but I am come that they may have life and life more abundant. The word thief is one who operates in stealth. That's what the Greek word means. Right? So Satan's not going to come and challenge you and go, "Hi, I'm Satan. How you doing? Hey, I'm here to ruin your day." It's like, that's not how he operates. He operates in stealth. And what he does is, instead of using direct truths, he uses applicational truths. And here's what I mean by that. And these are some of his schemes. We're supposed to be aware of his schemes so we can fight against his schemes with God's truth. Here's some of those schemes that he uses to disconnect us from the Lord. And you got to listen to the whole thing. You can't listen to part of it. The first thing he does is, you know, we get the "we're not worthy." Now, we know we're not worthy, and no flesh will glory before his presence. But what the enemy does is he makes it so much we're not worthy that he bypasses the truth that Jesus enables us to come into the presence of God 24/7, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that enables us, or puts us in a position where we can come to the throne of grace with confidence, seeking the Lord. But what the enemy does is he just leaves it at, "we're not worthy." Boy, that sounds really spiritual. We're not worthy. Don't bother God. And that subtlety is to keep you away from God. So if you just say, "we're not worthy," you get caught. But if you say, "we're not worthy, but Jesus makes us so," then you catch it. Then you're in. But if you just stay at, "we're not worthy," you don't spend time with God. I'm not worthy to. I can't even look, you know. It's one thing to be humble. It's another thing to be distanced by his schemes. Here's another one he uses. I talk to people about this on a pretty regular basis. This is what Satan does. Wasted life. You wasted your life. Can I ask you a question? If you're a Bible-believing Christian, a born-again Christian, can you show me in the Bible where God wastes stuff? Satan was the worst, and God said, "yeah, I'm going to use him." It's just like God doesn't throw anything away. He's not wasting anything. He's working it. He's working it in you. If all things work together for good to them that are called, according to his purpose, then the them that love God, them are called according to his purpose. If all things work together for good, then what's he wasting? Nothing. God's not wasting anything. You may be wasting time in the sense of, you know, pitter pattering. I think they call it pitter pattering, where you're doing, that's fine. But God's never sitting there going, I'm not doing anything. I'm just sunning in Aruba. It's like that's not what's happening. Here's another one. This is the legendary one. God is far. Just God is far. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the truth. Where is he? With us. When two or three are gathered together in his name, where is Jesus? In the midst of them. I'm always, I mean, just look at these passages. Look at Hebrews 13:5. You know, you said, be content with what you have and the things in your life, because he has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's far. No, he's not. That's the whole point. No, he's not. There's never enough financially, right? Because by the world standard, we go through that one. Never enough financially. I'm sorry, isn't your heavenly father loaded? I thought he owned all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, that's not just the universe part, that's the earthly part. Or he does other things like, you know, Satan does, like, this brother doesn't like you. He thinks you're snotty. Or this brother doesn't like you. He thinks you're not good enough. These are all the little tactics. Doesn't add a lot in it. Doesn't announce that it's him. But the way that we fight against this, the way that we fight against the dark side, is we open our eyes and operate in the truth, and it's the truth that breaks the power of the lies. We're not worthy, but Jesus made us so. Wasted life. All things work together for good. God is far. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never enough financially. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches, not according to your riches. Accusing the brethren. That's that actually accuser is what one of the definitions for Satan. We're supposed to love our brothers. We're supposed to love our enemies, let alone our brothers. These are things that the devil uses, and we need to apply the truth of God, the word of God, to stand in the word of God and say, no, I'm not going to let my mind be corrupted, and I'm not going to let complexities overwhelm me, and I'm not going to let simplicities be removed from me. Just going to stand in the faith. Stand in the faith and be immovable. Stand in the word of God. Pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit and walk it the right way. All right. Did we answer the quick trivia question? Go ahead and answer it.
Is it faith?
That is correct. You win. That is right. Ding, 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 ding. T got the trivia question. The answer was faith. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience. Right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish myself. I go down to the jail of my soul.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.